You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428. Welcome back. Jaron Pilts is the program director. Today's guest, Joe Guzzardi. He's on the Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance Committee, just appointed to the General Plan Committee, which we'll talk about, which is the blueprint for building in our area. And I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. Before we jump back in, we do have a caller, Debbie. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Joe.
Hi there.
I live in the San Roque area, and I was kind of following the Barry Berkus project on Upper State, and I found it really interesting. I thought that the architects and whomever was involved had some vision. I like the idea of a more pedestrian-friendly city, more bike paths, of more mass transit support. And I'm curious what your vision is on that, because it sounded like you didn't like the project because of you don't think it's, I guess, realistic that people are going to go carless.
And also, are you familiar, Debbie, with the, I think it's known as the Circuit City development?
Yes the Whole Foods, I think.
The Whole Foods, and there might be others. Will Joe?
Okay, well, let's see. First of all, I'm not necessarily opposed to the development of that property. I think the bone of contention that we have as representatives from the neighborhoods is just the extreme density that's being proposed. As I said a few minutes ago, I think the property is originally zoned for 17 units. Barry Berkus wants 55 units plus 9,000 square feet of commercial. Our disagreement is on that density. I think we could find a compromise somewhere in between, and then everyone would be happy with the development proposal. As far as being opposed to people going carless, I mentioned the folks walking to the store or walking to work in the context of the proposed project. What they're trying to do in creating the parking for this site is to use something, an idea called shared parking, where the 9,000 square foot of commercial space only has to have X number of parking spaces due to the fact that they would be sharing parking spaces with the folks that lived in the 55 units. And what most of us in Allied see as a flaw in this logic is that not everyone is going to be leaving for work in the morning and making those spaces available for commercial, and vice versa, that commercial may be open in the evenings, and then cars will be parked when folks come home. So our disagreement with this idea is the fact that it's a flawed philosophy, that you will end up with a crowded parking lot with not enough parking for the folks that are using that site, and you will end up impacting the street and the neighboring areas.
Two follow-up questions, if I might. We can't assume that the individuals who want to live in that development are the type of people who will make that sacrifice, who will make that lifestyle, and who will walk and ride their bikes, and who won't have a car, and who will be the tenants who the building was made for. And the second one is, of course, there's opposite idea of this building is too dense, has too many individuals in it. The opposite side of that spectrum is we have urban sprawl. Is it not?
Yeah, well, and there I think is the rub. As we go forward in the next couple decades and discuss high density versus urban sprawl, that's a very tough question. Personally, I think we need to go back to population and the way that we grow as a community or even as a country. I think we need to the folks that live in this area need to start thinking about having a sustainable population instead of one that continually grows. Because if you take that thought out decades, you know, how many people will Santa Barbara support? How many people can live in this area? There has to be an end, some sort of an end game to this whole question. But getting back to your question about people living in the lofts and making that sacrifice to walk everywhere, the problem there is that folks have property rights, and you cannot dictate to people that they must walk to work if they live in these lofts. People have a choice. They have the right to have a car or not have a car or have a bicycle and take that places. So it's a nice idea that folks will use that use those lofts, live in them, and walk places, but that doesn't pan out in reality.
And I guess I'm hoping and suggesting that the people who buy the lofts are those people, and that's what they were made for.
Well, and the other part of that question, too, is that if they want to make that sacrifice, and, you know, who pays the price? You have neighborhoods throughout our city that are suffering from the lack of parking or the lack of self-control when it comes to buying cars or using cars. So people that live adjacent to the Trader Joe's or the commercial zones or these high-density housing projects, the neighborhoods then take on all the cars and all the traffic and all the trash and all the degradation of the quality of life because they're paying the price for the overdevelopment of the
density,
commercial corridor.
Density. Yeah, San Remo is an example right at the T of Grove and San Remo. You can just, it looks like you're driving in a city. There's just bumper-to-bumper parking.
Well, and we constantly have folks from the neighborhoods complaining that these other commercial uses or high-density housing uses are then impacting on what should be a neighborhood where folks can come home and, you know, live their lives in peace.
You know what they could do, Joe? They could just put the overflow parking over at Five Points.
Find a parking space.
That was a joke. That was a big joke. I sometimes drive in there and just drive out, and that's just right across the street. It's a tough question that the caller, Debbie, has raised, and then you went a step further to the big one is, okay, so we do this one, we do this one, we do this one. And then Gary Earle was on a while ago, who's part of the Citizens for Sensible Planning, trying to get the Board of Supervisors to get into a general plan, and we'll touch on that before we let you go, Joe, to try to say, okay, so what's the overall growth plan? And once maybe you know that, then you can start approving projects like this that are kind of neat and urban and, you know, in the city. And, you know, Andy Caldwell was on a couple of weeks ago and brought up the Francisco Torres Towers. And I didn't really follow up with him, but he kind of made the suggestion that, well, you know, just go build higher. And I didn't know if he was serious. Debbie, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, those are great questions, and I'm glad Debbie brought up the issue of sprawl versus density, because I agree wholeheartedly with the fact that we don't want sprawl going up the Gaviota Coast. But that then brings you to the question of, well, where does the density stop? How far do you go with density to prevent that sprawl?
Well, why don't you segue in, if it makes sense, to this general plan committee that you were just appointed to. Is this the very meat of the decision?
Well, it helps. The general plan is something that's updated every couple of decades. I believe the last time that this one was updated for the city of Santa Barbara was in the late 70s. I might be wrong on the dates, but it's been quite a while. What the general plan is, based in a nutshell, it's just a blueprint for how the city moves forward, mostly with development, but it also guides the city decision makers on how to deal with issues of the whole gamut, environmental quality, quality of life.
Now, is this the general plan for the county that includes the city, or is this separate?
No, this is separate. The city is its own entity, and it has its own general plan. It does incorporate sphere of influence, so the general plan would take into account influence that would come from Nolita or Goleta or from surrounding communities. Those issues are mentioned in the document itself. But
if Nolita comes under the spell of Santa Barbara,
then it would be part of the city of Santa Barbara's general plan.
Then it would be part of the general plan. Otherwise, so Gary Earle, Citizens for Sensible Planning, he's out there trying to fight for a say and a plan. He wants to see a plan.
Well, the plan that Gary's referring to would be the county's general plan, because the county has jurisdiction over the Nolita area, as it's called. All the unincorporated portions of the county would be under the purview of the county of Santa Barbara, and the county also has general plan. And then what they do sometimes is they create sub-plans that are aimed at certain communities, because those communities are unique. So what Gary is looking for and what the folks out in eastern Goleta are looking for is a general plan that the county can follow when they try to wrestle with the question of development, affordable housing, high-density housing, things like that.
Now, when you go out there toward Nolita, you don't have a dense intersection like the corner of State and La Cumbra or Circuit City.
Well, actually, you do. When
in terms of what?
There are intersections in Goleta that I was just at a school board meeting a couple weeks ago where the school board was discussing possibly selling off a piece of property called the Tatum property, either selling it off or developing it.
The one behind Vaughn's off of Turnpike.
Yes, and a lot of folks came to the school board meeting to plead with the school board to not create high-density projects on that property because the intersections of Hollister and Turnpike and Patterson and Fairview are already impacted, and this would just exacerbate that. So Eastern Goleta is suffering the same quality of life, traffic density problems that Upper State Street is suffering.
Well, I didn't mean to minimize that, but I guess I was... Since I work at the corner of State and La Cumbra and try to cross there and drive there, I know it's murder. And so in comparison, I don't know. I'm sure that the number of cars and all that, I'm not trying to minimize the people.
Right.
You know, I personally live out off there, and I live in basically a cul-de-sac community. There's a lot of streets. There's three streets that feed into it, and there's a bunch of finger streets and mm-hmm. cul-de-sacs, and there's no way in, and there's only one, you know, you can go in and you go out, but there's no through traffic.
Right.
And my personal fear, I don't even want to get on the bandwagon whether or not they should develop that property, but they could theoretically open up San Simeon Drive from Turnpike, which has a little dogleg street there now, and open it all the way through because they probably need, you know, ingress and egress. And that would literally destroy, well, being a little overdramatic, but, you know, you have 450 homes in a cul-de-sac community, and then suddenly you got people, you know, jamming through. It would be, it'd be pretty horrible.
Well, Mark, this is the wonderful thing about Citizens for Sensible Planning is that they're stepping up right now and they're talking about these issues before these things happen. In Santa Barbara, it almost feels like we're doing catch-up. We're trying to put the brakes on this rampant development that's been going on. And CSP and the folks that live out in Eastern Goleta, the neighbors are all joining together to try to get ahead of the curve and try to get the county to create a plan so that everyone can know, you know, what the rules of the game are, what the proposals are, and how that portion of our community is going to look over the next couple decades. So it's a neat thing to see when the citizens start getting involved before things happen instead of after.
Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance Committee, is there a phone number or website for them? You've been on that, and that covers the area that the caller called in, and San Roque and San Marcan?
The NPO, the Neighborhood Preservation Ordinance Steering Committee, was formed to help update.
Joe?
Yes.
We're actually out of time.
Okay.
Can you give a number or a website?
City of Santa Barbara website. You can Google that and get City of Santa Barbara, NPO.
Just go to City of Santa Barbara. .com or
I'm not sure exactly. Google City of Santa Barbara.
Oh, Google City of Santa Barbara. Okay.
And then you get their website that has the NPO.
Joe Gazzardi, thank you so much for joining us. Have you made a decision on whether or not you're going to run for Board of Supervisors?
Not yet.
You had plenty of time. Almost 30 minutes. God, you need a decision maker. Joe, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Take good care. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, 564-1290. It's 24 minutes to the hour. Stay tuned. You'll be right back. We'll talk with, we're going to give Neil Ablett a call. Let's see if we can get him on the phone and get an update on the 400 square foot, four story building he's building in downtown Santa Barbara. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.